Pray with me. Father, thank you for this night. Thank you that you are here and that you are in our worship and you are glorified by that. Thank you for our hearts, Lord, that they are turned towards you right now. And Father, I just pray that you would speak to us tonight, that you would move in this place like you have during this week. Thank you for the speakers who've spoken to us already and for those who have yet to speak to us. But Lord, I ask that you would calm Carolyn's nerves tonight, that you would speak through her, that her words would be yours, and that we would just hear what you need us to hear, Lord, that our ears would be turned to you and our hearts would be turned to you and you would be loud and clear amongst us. And thank you for the worship and how good it was, and just that we're all here together, Lord. Amen. Hi. My name's Sarah Bruner, for those of you who don't know me. Hi. I am here tonight to introduce Carolyn, my good friend. There's a couple of things I want to tell you about Carolyn, but first of all, I met Carolyn last year when I knew her roommate, actually stole her roommate from her. But we're still friends, right? Yeah, we're still friends, which is good. But during the past year that Carolyn and I have gotten to know each other, I've really just come to know her heart and come to see who she is. And she is a woman of God that I feel like you don't really find that often. She seeks after God's heart about everything. She comes to me sometimes and she'll say, Sarah, what do you think God thinks about this? Or what do you think I should do here? And I just think, well, I never would have thought to pray about that or to even ask God about that, even though I probably should have. But Carolyn's just one of those people who, her life is about the Lord, and her life is about God. And because of that, she's a really open and honest person. And it's really, her life has just really blessed me in a lot of ways. Her honesty and her openness and how vulnerable she is with me and with her other friends, and how she's one of those people that you can talk to about things that would probably be awkward with a lot of other people, but they're not with her. She has this joy that I really love about her. She has this laugh that it kind of goes through walls. Like, I live next door to her, and I'll hear her laughing sometimes when I'm trying to sleep at night. And it doesn't make me mad, though, because it's this laugh that comes from God. And it's this laugh that I'll be lying in bed, and I'm like, Carolyn, I'm trying to sleep, but I'm really glad that you love God. So it's good. But so I don't know. I really love Carolyn, and I know that whatever she has to say to us tonight, I don't really know what she has to say, but whatever she has to say is definitely from the Lord, because I know that he talks to her and she listens. And so just make sure that, you know, you're listening. And I know that there's something that God wants to say to all of us, myself included, and it might or might not be Carolyn's main point, but just try to hear what God's trying to say to you tonight through her. So if you guys could help me welcome Carolyn, that'd be really good.
Hi, everybody. I'm actually going to sit on the stool here because I thought it would be more personal. I don't know. Thank you very much, Sarah. I don't feel like I'm worthy of those words. Before I speak to you guys tonight, I just really wanted to actually confess something. Because I'm wanting to talk about humility and dying to ourselves, giving up who we are. And I realized when I was thinking about humility that I was getting prideful about it. That I was like, oh, I'm going to have such a good talk, and I'm going to be the best speaker this whole week, and everyone's going to change. And I mean, that's just such one of those awful things that you end up thinking that is taking God's glory. And so I just want to confess that to you guys so I can be completely honest when I am talking about pride, that you'll know that obviously I'm not perfect in that area. I have always had a hard time understanding humility. More recently, it's been I've been kind of prideful aspect. In the past, it was more self-deprecation, which really I've come to see is just another form of pride, because then you're just looking for other people to affirm you, to tell you, oh, no, no, you're a good person, and, you know, you don't have to feel this way about yourself. But last summer, my family and I were doing a Bible study of Philippians. And, oh, I need to open my Bible. Sorry. And we got to chapter 2, verse 3, when it says, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves." And I had a hard time with that. I'm like, wait, people are supposed to be better than me? And I don't know, I didn't know how to take that, because I was always so hard on myself. When I was thinking about humility with that passage, because we started discussing it, I thought that the best description of humility was seeing ourselves rightly. And I still think that's true, but I think there's a better definition. And that's what my dad and my brother were saying. They're saying humility is self-forgetfulness. And that's how C.S. Lewis describes it in Mere Christianity. He talks about that if someone really is humble, then either they'll forget about themselves or they'll think that they're tiny and insignificant and gross. This reminds me of something I've come across this year in one of my classes. I'm in Theology of John Wesley. Yay, John Wesley. And in some of his prayers that are just beautiful and really revealing his heart for the Lord, he was praying to God saying, "God, give me an idea of how I am nothing, I have nothing, and I can do nothing." And I wouldn't have been able to understand that last summer. That to me, I would have been like, I can't do that. I can't think that way about myself, because I'm not going to be able to do something like that. It's crippling. But I think that that's really where freedom comes, when we see that we are nothing and we have nothing, because that's where God can work. I really started understanding humility more this year. This year, for the very first time in my life, I fasted, which was kind of funny that David had mentioned that on Monday, because I was like, yeah, it's so true. Because just the whole day that I was fasting, I just had this sense of how much I needed God and how weak I was without him. I don't really know how this worked, but because I constantly was having to pray, constantly having to seek God, I wasn't thinking about myself, even though, I don't know, in a way I was, because I felt so weak. It turned my thoughts away from myself onto God and to other people. But really, the change came a few days later. This was the week of Valentine's Day, and the night before Valentine's Day, which almost is a little ironic, but I don't know. Something was just off that day. I wasn't feeling right. And I was realizing that, I don't know, I was kind of lonely. It just, the people that I care about most or they're most important to me weren't here. I mean, my family is all the way back in Washington State, and my boyfriend's in California, and one of my best friends here is in Spain this semester. And I don't know, something was just off. And I ended up just going down to the prayer room in Glide Crawford, and I just had to cry before God. And I'm not a crier. My friends in high school actually made fun of me and said that I was cold-hearted because I don't really cry very often. but I don't know. It was just like half an hour to 45 minutes, maybe even an hour. I was just crying. And all I could say to God, all I can manage to say to him was, "I give up. I give up." Because I'd been trying so hard to please him. I wanted so badly for him to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant," to say, "You are a good Christian." I was all about being good. But I couldn't do that. We can't do that on our own. We have to reach that point of brokenness where we give up everything. And that's what I was coming to that night. And that's really what I'd like to share with you guys tonight. Last year, I was reading this book. It's called, I think, Being a Girl Who Loves, which is kind of a cheesy title, but had some good stuff in it. And it asks the question at the end of one of the chapters, is there anything in your life that you wouldn't be willing to give up for God? And I was thinking about this, and I realized that for me, I don't know if this sounds dumb to you guys, it was my education, who I was as a college student, that I was thinking, if God asked me, okay, Carolyn, I need you to drop out of college. I need you to go back home and work at Walgreens or something like that. I don't know. I couldn't do it. I'd be like, sorry, God, I mean, I love you and all, but I don't know. This is just who I am. I was a student. I was a good student, because that's what my identity was wrapped up in. So to think of letting go of that was terrifying. I can say, praising God now, that I would be willing to drop out of college. I mean, I don't think he'll ever ask me to do that. But I mean, I would be willing now, because that's not where my identity is. And I was willing to let that part of me die. And even now I struggle with it when thinking, okay, God, I mean, do you really want me to pray instead of doing my homework? Or, I don't know, do you really want me to not care what my professors think about me? I still struggle with that one. I don't know why. Another example that I wanted to share with you guys about just being willing to give up who we are, really, came from one of my professors right now. Some of you, I think, will recognize this story. But my professor originally was in a doctoral program for mathematics. And he was close to getting his doctorate. And just, I mean, this is who he was. This is what he was doing. And then God told him, stop. You can't do this anymore. And I mean, what do you do with that? This is, I don't know how many years it takes to get a doctorate in mathematics. But anyway, he'd been in school for forever for this. And this is what God had wanted him to do. And now he couldn't. And so I think, I don't remember exactly, but it's like he struggled with that for about a month or 2 months. And then he finally just decided, you know, I'm going to be obedient to God, and I'm going to give this up. So he did, and he started going to seminary, and actually they were really tight on money at that time and ended up being a pizza delivery boy. So, I mean, talk about humility, that it went from going, oh yeah, you know, I'm a doctoral student in mathematics, to, well, I'm a seminary student, and I mean, for some money, I'm a pizza delivery boy. But I think that this is really what God is calling us to be willing to do. I'm not saying that he's actually going to call every single one of us to give up our dream, but something that is so essential to who we are, our identity, what we want to do with our lives, even the day-to-day things, has to belong to God. If we want to live with him, if we want to live the life that Jesus wants to give us, we have to die with Jesus. We have to take part in his death before we can take part in his resurrection. And that's just really what I've been learning as I've been thinking about this semester. One thing that comes to mind, and this is funny because it's actually for the class of the professor that I mentioned, that it's scary to think about that. I mean, honestly, I think if we really do think about that, that's scary. Giving up who we are. And it kind of sounds like, I don't know, who will I be then if I'm giving up, I don't know, my college education in my case, or I don't know, giving up this certain career or being a missionary or being a musician, I don't know. Who am I going to be? Aren't we all just going to look like the same person if we give up who we want to be? And again, C.S. Lewis talks about this in Mere Christianity, and I love this illustration he gives. Hopefully you guys will like this too. Maybe I'm just a nerd. But he talks about, like, he gives this analogy of there's this group of people who've always lived in the dark. They don't know what light is like. And so you come and try and explain it to them. You're like, well, I mean, the light shines on you, and how we are able to see you is because it's reflecting off of you. And so it reflects off of you in the same way, and so we can see you. And they're like, wait a minute. It's reflecting off of all of us in the same way, and you see us because of the light? I mean, aren't we all just going to look the same? And we know that that's just nonsense. I mean, when someone comes out of the darkness into the light, of course you can see more of who they are. Well, that's how it is when we step into God's light, when we come out of our own darkness, even our own plans for our life, and we let who we are just be about reflecting his light, then who we truly are shines. Who he made us to be is what shines through. But we have to be willing to step out of our plans and step out of even little things. Because I've noticed that what's hardest isn't when I think about, like, okay, God, if you called me to be single my whole life, that's totally fine. I mean, actually, for me, that would be totally fine. But, or like, you know, God, you choose my career. God, you choose this, you choose that. Like, the big things in life, I don't know, those don't seem as hard to me. But I've really been trying this semester, well, not as much some days, but like, I'll come to a point and I'll be like, okay, God, what do you want me to do right now? Do you want me to do this homework? Do you want me to read my Bible? Do you want me to go pray for somebody? What do you want? And honestly, you guys, most of the time I sit there and nothing happens. I wish I could live my life where it's just every decision I make, I'm going, God, what do you want to do here? And I think that that's just how he can move the most powerfully when we don't even really have a will of our own anymore. It's just him and seeking him in the little tiny things every day. I have been amazed in the past week how God has been using preparing to give this talk to you guys to change me. And really just showing me how he has so much power that he wants to work in us. He has so much that he wants to give us. And really, I've even just been amazed by the unity of the speakers. Because it's not like we all sat down and said, okay, you talk on this, and you talk on this. And I mean, it's just funny things that I was thinking, oh, maybe I'll talk about that. Somebody else covered it. I don't know. God just is working on his message. We heard from Monday from David, when he's talking about like not just settling for being in the desert, but being wholly dependent on God. And Trevor that night talked about we have to get our priorities straight and not just think that we own everything. We have to be able to give everything up. And Tana that same night said, if we want God as our king, then we have to be willing to do whatever he wants, even if it means getting dirty. The next night, I loved this. She was saying that if we seek after the living God, he will reveal himself to us. But we have to be seeking him. And Mary Grace talked about our identity. And again, kind of our priorities and how we have to get our life in order and focus our life. The next morning, the next morning, Eva was talking about who is our master? Who are we going to serve? And this was so cool, you guys. And when I was looking at verses for this week, God had showed me Isaiah 52. And so when she read that, I was like, oh my gosh, God is working in the speakers. And we heard Stockton talking about just growing up in our faith. And Austin was talking about we need to return to the gospel because that's really what will inspire us to live a kingdom life. And now tonight, I just want to share with you guys how if we want to live this kingdom life that we're talking about, if we want to live in the power that God has for us, then we have to be willing to die with him. We have to be willing to give up everything for him. Obviously, I'm still working on this in my own life. I'm still working on how this works day to day. But as I was thinking about this, I kind of came up with three steps to go through this. I don't know. I think we like steps in little talks or sermons, whatever. Not that this is a sermon. Sorry. But first, I think that we have to examine ourselves. We have to honestly look at ourselves and not try and, you know, think, okay, no, I can't say bad things about myself. I don't know if you guys are like that. I still struggle with that sometimes. But just really looking at ourselves and say, what is taking my attention? What is holding me? Examine yourself and, I don't know, write that down or something. Really look at yourself. And then secondly, to be honest with God about it. I mean, he already knows. It's not like he's going to smite us with lightning or something if we tell him, hey, God, you know, I love playing basketball more than I love you. I think that, I mean, even though it hurts him to know that we're not searching after him with our whole heart, I think that he would rejoice at us telling him, God, I'm recognizing that I love this more than you, because that's the only way we can really move forward is once we see what we have to give up. And then thirdly, it would just be if you're ready and if you're willing to commit to change, to commit to daily laying those things down. And for me, for giving up my education in school, that was like an entire semester where I just kind of had to think about it really hard and say, am I really going to hold on to having a college degree, or am I going to seek after God wholeheartedly? So would you guys pray with me? Dear Father, thank you for how living you are, how powerful you are, and how you want to just have this intimate fellowship with us, God. I pray that you would give us the strength to look within ourselves, to see what we're holding on to, Father. And it's scary when we travel down that road, when we admit that we're in darkness, Lord. Show us our sin and convict us of it, Father, so that we can move forward. Show us our sin and show us even the good things that we're holding on to. Lord, I just pray that we would hold continually to you. When we can't do it, we would just declare, Lord, I'm broken. I'm broken and I give up. I can't do this anymore. Father, show us your power. Reveal how amazing you are so that we can move forward with you. In your son's name, amen.